Well, good morning. Men, the Marines have landed. According to Max Boot, writing for the Wall Street Journal this week, those very words inspire confidence. The Marines have developed a reputation as some of the toughest fighting men we have in the armed forces. Even Congress is partial to the Marine Corps, and they usually get whatever they need. And the Secretary of Defense apparently likes them because the first reporters allowed to accompany U.S. troops into action in Afghanistan were brought in by the Marines. Now, men, the question is this confidence engendered by the Marine Corps the product of slick PR work? They've got a whole department making sure that their cause is represented well on Capitol Hill. The Marines even had John Philip Sousa head up their famous band. They encouraged films like The Sands of Iwo Jima. Men, or is this confidence based on something more substantial? Of course, this is a lead-in, isn't it, to our study of faith. Men, when a person puts his faith in God, is he being foolish? Is he being an ignoramus? Told this woman the other day, a professional, I was interacting with her. I told her I was a Christian. First thing she said to me, are you a fundamentalist? The very fact that I identified with Jesus Christ like that made her react to me like I was a kook. I said, no, I'm not a fundamentalist, but I am fundamental. And I believe that a person is lost without Jesus Christ. I looked her right in the eye. But when a person puts his faith in God, is he being foolish? Or is it because he's an ignoramus? Or is faith based on something more substantial? The author of Hebrews answers that question this morning with the definition of faith. Open your scriptures to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. If you weren't here last week, we made the transition into the text. Today we get into the text. What do we mean by faith? Faith. People will say, I have faith. My faith carried me through that. I couldn't do it without my faith. What do we mean by faith? Well, the writer says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. All right, men, this definition.
I can't read it.
This definition brings into focus the whole relationship of faith and reason. This is very important. This is very important. Verse 2 here says this morning, this is what the ancients were commended for. Faith. What kind of men were they? What kind of men were these ancient biblical characters? We're going to be looking at people like Abel. We're going to be looking at Enoch. We're going to be looking at Noah and Abraham and others. How did they stay proactive in the face of opposition? You know, Noah built the ark. Apparently it took him 120 years. How did they stay proactive in the face of opposition? How did they trust God when others around them were going in the other direction? How were they able to keep their vision, men? Was their faith blind? Was it irrational? Unreasonable? Not according to this definition, men. Not according to this definition. It says it's being sure of what we hope for. It's being certain of what we do not see. Another definition, another translation says it's the assurance in God's future promises, an assurance that enables us to persevere. Now, if you're sure and you're certain and you're assured, what is the implication? What's the implication? You've thought it through, right? Am I right on that? Reasonably. Man, reason is not in opposition to faith, but it is subordinate to faith. Now, I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you the summary of Thomas Aquinas' philosophy of faith, which I read to exhaustion the last couple of weeks. I'm not that smart. But this is basically a Thomistic philosophy of faith, which Norman Geisler, in his book on Christian apologetics, uses exclusively to explain biblical faith. Reason is not in opposition to faith, but it is subordinate to faith. Faith is reasonable. You can't reason your way to heavenly knowledge, but nonetheless, it is knowledge. We're not used to talking like this, right? We're business people. Which God reveals, and that revelation is above reason. Now that's the philosophy, but let's get a little bit more practical and more human with it. A total skeptic very often will soften and move toward faith after witnessing the birth of his baby. He knows that he has seen a miracle. A helpless alcoholic comes to a point where he begins to look to a power greater than himself. In my own case, I couldn't make life work 26 years ago. I remember standing outside of my heavily mortgaged home in St. David's, Pennsylvania. And I couldn't make life work. I was running into dead ends in my career, and I was running into dead ends in my marriage and family life. It just would not harmonize. So I began to look up. I stayed home one day. I stayed home all day and didn't even go to work, which was a mortal sin in corporate America. My boss said, "Where were you?" I said, "I took a personal planning day." He couldn't maintain eye contact with me after that. I mean, you mean this is not the only thing in your life? So I stayed home for a whole day, and I wrote in my journal that someday I would like to know the true meaning of God. That was, so you see, that was the beginning of revelation. And boy, was I shocked about a year later when I found out that everything I had scorned and laughed at and ignored was where it really was. Men, we are opened up to the revelation. See, we're opened up to the revelation. And when we get to the scriptures, that's when things really start to happen, because we engage the mind. If God would send his only son, I wonder if I can put my faith in him for my life. I wonder if I could give him my life, if he would do that. I'm wondering if I can put my faith in him. I wonder if I can trust him to find me work, to help me reconcile that relationship, to to help me get rid of that bitterness I feel toward him or her. Men, we can talk about faith all we want, but the most important aspect of biblical faith is what it produces. What does faith produce? What does biblical faith produce? Faithfulness. Thanks for trying, Ken. Faithfulness, steadfastness. We persist. We're always faithful. Semper fidelis. And that comes from God, men. Now, this is a cul-de-sac that I didn't know I'd go down. I don't like the word believer. I'm a believer. The ancient Jews didn't know that concept. It denotes or connotes an abstract philosophical thought system. I believe in that. The more Jewish model, which was the crucible with for which these words were written, was much more practical. If you have faith, where is your faithfulness? Reflected in a steadfastness where you hang in there through thick and thin. And that comes from God, men. It's true about the Marine Corps. They work hard to burnish their image. Ever since the Corps was started in 1775, according to this writer, they've been the target of attempts to eliminate them by the big bullies in the Army, Navy, and the Air Force. But according to Max Boot in the Wall Street Journal, between 1800 and 1934, the Marines landed 180 times. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli in Haiti, in Nicaragua, they have always been faithful. Now, men of faith, do not shrink back in the face of this world's temptations. And they are legion, are they not? They are steadfast, to quote Paul, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, men, it is entirely reasonable to put our faith in Jesus. None of us have ever seen him, have we? But how many of us were at Incheon or Guadalcanal? Men, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also graciously not give us all things? Men, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what these ancient men that we are going to discuss were commended for. Men, be faithful always. Semper fi. Can we have prayer together? Lord Jesus, we thank you for a reasonable faith. Thank you for making it reasonable. We don't have to be idiots. We don't have to be ignoramuses to believe in you. We can be reasonable. We can use our minds that you've given us, and we can consider the evidence. Our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for coming. And Lord, what a privilege to follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.